I think in part of the outline of the course, I've got a list of different density of states. Let's see. I just look at some of them. This is the density of states for aluminum. Aluminum is pretty good for electron metal. It starts out like a square root for density of states, and it's got some little funny peaks in it, but it mostly looks like the free electron model. And down here is the data for the density of states of aluminum. And I've printed it in a couple different forms. The density of states given in different kinds of units, because most of the time we want to use SI units, but it's not very common that you find data somewhere in SI units. The density of states is often listed in electron volts per atom or electron volts per cubic meter, and then we convert it to joules per cubic meter. Okay, this is gold that we've seen a bunch of times. This is copper that I showed you. And then, let's see, tungsten has a density of states like this. Tungsten is BCC, so it has different looking density of states than some of the FCC metals. And now it doesn't look like such a simple square root anymore, the density of states. It's got a more complicated structure. I have in this list a bunch of different magnetic materials. And for magnetic materials, it's typical to plot the density of states for the two spins separately. So zero density of states is some horizontal line, and you plot the density of states of the spin up electrons up and the spin down electrons going down. And that's because magnetic materials, they spontaneously magnetize below a certain temperature. So it's really a phase transition of the electrons. At high temperatures, the ion is not magnetic, and you cool it down, and at a certain temperature, the electrons go through a quantum phase transition. They go from basically what's like a free electron gas, a gas form of the electrons, into a quantum liquid, which is this magnetic state. When they do that, there's a magnetic field which changes the energies of the spin-up electrons with respect to the spin-down electrons. And then you have to plot separately the density of states for spin-up and spin-down. There was a master student who was doing doing his master's thesis on magnetism and had to calculate the density of states to figure something out, and just gave me a bunch of density of states of magnetic materials. So in this list, I have a bunch of density of states of magnetic materials from this process. Okay, so we have the density of states for various materials, and what can we do with them? We also have some programs that will calculate things like the chemical potential given the density of states. So to calculate the chemical potential, it's defined implicitly by this equation, where the electron density is the integral over all states times the Fermi energy integrated over energy. So this is the number of states of this energy. This is the probability that the states are occupied. If you count all the occupied states, it will give you all of the electrons. And then it turns out that doing an integral from minus infinity to infinity is complicated numerically. So you integrate by parts once and convert this to an integral over a related quantity times the derivative of the density of states. Because the derivative of the density of states goes to zero outside a short range. So you only want to integrate over a short range, which is close to the Fermi energy. And then you end up with an expression that looks something like this, and you can use it to calculate the chemical potential. So here's the density of states on the left and the chemical potential on the right. And this program will let you take some data. If you've got data, your density of states, you paste it into this box, and then you press the button. Where's my button? This one. You press this button to go from the density of states to the chemical potential, and it plots the chemical potential. And then we've got some buttons down here that let us choose different density of states. So now I took the density of states for a one-dimensional metal, and you see the chemical potential for a one-dimensional free electron gas. In two dimensions, it's pretty constant, and in three dimensions, it falls like this. And then we have the density of states from some calculations that were done. So we have tight binding calculations. We calculate the dispersion relationship. From the dispersion relationship, we get the density of states. And you can put those in and see what happens to the chemical potential. And you'll see that sometimes it goes up and sometimes it goes down as a function of temperature. Here for graphene, it's got these funny steps in it. And these steps are because of the algorithm that was used to calculate the chemical potential. They're not real. There's a little note here off to the right that says that there's a numerical problem. When you see these steps, what's happening is that the chemical potential is hardly changing. And I think if you can read these numbers, this is 0.008, 0.0010. It's not changing very much. And when it's almost constant, then the program gives these funny steps. Okay, so now we can also look at some of the density of states that have been collected. So here's aluminum and the chemical potential that goes with aluminum. And this is the temperature dependence of copper. Or copper? No, that was gold. This is aluminum, it goes down. Gold, it goes up. Copper, it also goes up. Sodium, it goes down. And what it really depends on is the slope of the density of states at the Fermi energy. If the slope is increasing, then it goes down. And then I think, let's see. Here at tungsten, it's increasing, it goes down. At platinum, it's decreasing at the density of states, so then the density of states goes up. And knowing the chemical potential is important because if you want to calculate any of the other properties, like the internal energy density or something like that, you need to know the chemical potential to calculate which states are filled and which states are empty. So you need to first know what the chemical potential looks like, and then you can use it to calculate other thermodynamic properties. Well, let's go back and look at another one like the specific heat. First, there's this explanation about how to calculate the specific heat. And again, we integrate, do this partial integration to get the derivative of, now it's the temperature times the Fermi function, the derivative of the Fermi function was a function of temperature, but it's still only non-zero in a certain energy range, in a small energy range. And we use that to calculate the specific heat of different materials. And our simple model for the electronic specific heat was that it's a straight line. And then we'll see for most metals, the specific heat is linear in temperature. For gold, for copper, it depends mostly on the value of the density of states at the Fermi energy. For some materials, you see some deviation from a straight line. So here, we're calculating the specific heat for platinum, and it's not really straight. It's got some bend in it. And there's some other materials that have a kink. Materials that have a kink right at the Fermi energy, like graphene, give an unusual density of states. So usually also two-dimensional and one-dimensional metals have a linear density of states. So here I've got some two-dimensional cases, which are mostly pretty linear. Oh, this simple cubic is three-dimensional. But graphene, because it's got the kink right at the Fermi energy, the density of states is not a smooth function right at the Fermi energy, it gives this funny form for the specific heat. Okay, so this is the program. First, we figure out how to calculate the dispersion relationship. From the dispersion relationship, we get the density of states. From the density of states, we can calculate other properties. And I've been trying to collect different dispersion relationships and density of states. So if you go on in a master and for some reason need to calculate the density of states, then send me a copy of the density of states that you've calculated so I can add it to my collection of tabulated density of states. Okay, I think we'll stop here now.